Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
That's why I say immigration.
Shot. No shot.
With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say immigration.
Shot. No shot. Is brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook's now open, and they are offering, courtesy of the great Teddy Greenstein at PointsBet, no juice on NFL games for the month of September. Those lines go up 48 hours before kickoff. And download that PointsBet app right now and stop by Hawthorne Racecourse to register your account. Good morning, Danny. Aaron Rodgers looks like he stole your look, but it's way better on you.
Gentlemen, happy first day of fall.
Yeah. Don't be sad, man. You still got us. We're your ray of sunshine during the darkness of the fall and winter.
Yeah, it's the first day of fall, and then I found out this morning I got to pick Cap up in the morning.
Well,
it's a tough hump day for this guy.
Yeah.
Really? Well, you're better than
I'll
that.
I'll tell you what, if you do one time while I'm driving you in, somebody will find you on the side of the Edens.
Oh!
That unbelievable. When Danny needs someone to come to the rescue for whatever it is.
Hey, I'm coming. I'm not coming.
We know
that. I do think it's ridiculous. I have three kids. I have three car seats. I think it's ridiculous that this morning you asked me to remove the car seats in the back seat so you could sit behind me like a chauffeur.
All right.
I thought that was a little ridiculous of a request.
All right. Keep your coming to yourself. Go ahead, Danny.
All right, gentlemen. Let's get on to the shot.
Earlier in the show.
Nice.
The shot or no shot portion of shot or no shot.
Yes.
The Chicago White Sox have lost five of their last seven games. The Chicago White Sox have been a 500 team for the last 3 months. I ask you a simple question, boys. Shot or no shot, the Chicago White Sox can turn this ship around and go into the postseason on a high note.
With a T, by the way. Turn that around.
Yeah.
SH with a T. That's how I feel about it.
Take that.
Just the way they've been playing, man. It's just too... What have I been asking for, Cap? I just want momentum for the team going into October, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand they've gone through so much. This has been a weird season. We talked to Garfine about this yesterday. Just a weird season because of how often they've used the IL. I'll give Tony all the credit in the world and Rick Hahn for piecemealing this team together, mm-hmm. a championship ball club. But, man, I am concerned. That is for sure. I'm concerned that some of this inconsistency might rear its head in the postseason.
I believe they can absolutely turn this ship with a P
T.
around.
Yep.
If you think back to 05, that team was on cruise control and nearly frittered away a 15.5 game lead.
That's correct.
It was down to 1.5. And everyone in town was like, Ozzie can't control him. It's too much out of this and that. And what did he do? He pulled the nose up. They won a really tough game. I believe Cleveland dropped a fly ball that cost Cleveland a game that day.
Mm-hmm.
The Sox went out that night and won. 2.5, it's over.
Yep.
That's it. We're good.
Yep.
Rolled into the postseason. Went, 11-1?
Yeah.
11-1 and won the World Series.
Best pitching you've ever seen on the White Sox.
Correct.
Yeah.
It absolutely can get turned around. I think people need to... relax.
Nope, can't do that. When I have an emotional attachment to it, I can't relax, Cap. There is no relax. Again, when you are attached to the team, when you grow up 20 minutes in the ballpark like me, there is no relax because I want what's best for the ball club. There is no relax.
I get it.
I can't do that. You can because you only have a financial investment in the team. I have a financial and an emotional investment in the team. The Sox are good enough, are good for you as long as they get your parlay straight. Go ahead, Danny.
Gentlemen.
Don't tell anybody.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows. You are with the team. There's no question.
Yeah, I want them to win.
Especially.
It says Chicago.
Especially if they help you in the parlay.
That's correct.
Hello. Hi, this is Jerry Reinsdorf's office. Can you hold for Jerry?
Oh, God.
Let me ask you something, David. I was listening to the show. What about just rooting for the team? Put the shillings in the pocket. Don't worry about the money.
By the way, we're opening a sports
book. Yeah, so don't worry about it, okay? We got our own sports book. Yeah, just so concerned about the parlay. Just root for the team. Okay, bye.
That's the end of that. And that'll be the end of that.
Take that.
Danny.
Gentlemen, yes, speaking of baseball and money, the cost to take a family of four to a Major League Baseball game in 2021 increased over last year's fanless pandemic season. It now costs an average of $253 for four people to attend a Major League Baseball game, which is about 5% higher than the year before. The year-over-year comparison is based on what costs were planned for the 2020 season before it was reduced to 60 games without the fans. The Cubs are the second most expensive ticket in Major League Baseball. You guys want to hear this? This is crazy.
Yes, absolutely.
Your Chicago Cubs to take a family of four costs $364.38. The only team that costs more is the Boston Red Sox at $376.49. What do they have in common? Our boss, Mike Thomas. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
The Chicago White Sox are lower on the list. Let me find those guys for you. The White Sox are $253.25 to take a family of four.
Affordable.
My question is for you guys, shot or no shot, your Chicago Cubs need to lower the ticket prices for next season based on the product we all expect them to put on the field.
No shot. They're never doing that.
I didn't ask if they were going to.
Yeah.
I said they should.
Yeah, no. No, I would not. I wouldn't obviously raise prices. Once you get them to a level, it's on them to put a product on the field that you go, I got to take some of my disposable income, and I got to take the family to a ball game. But lower them? No. But take some of that money that you've got, we know you've got, and go get some damn players that can win.
Well, that's a shot, first of all, for Major League Baseball. You're going through a pandemic, and you keep the prices at the same price that you thought you would be getting, the money that you thought you'd be getting. Of course, many ballparks got zero because of the pandemic. Dude, you just can't do something for the fan. Again, you'll make up that money again at some point. You couldn't just put a hand out for the fan just one time. We'll lower the prices across the board. Why couldn't do? You'll get that money back. I mean, are you so desperate for money that you couldn't lower the prices across the board of Major League Baseball? Why didn't they do that? And for the Cubs, that's criminal. I gotta get to the ballpark. Now I gotta find a place to park, or I'll take the train. I got a family of four. Now I got to get concessions, all this other stuff. Now I got to get a T-shirt. That is a huge expense for any family that's going through it, especially those families that went through unemployment or had to be laid off because of COVID.
Or live off of stimulus. But Hoodie, guess what? Don't buy the tickets if you don't like the product.
Fair.
Right?
Fair enough. I can't argue that. Give me the price again, Danny, for the Cubs. Three what?
$364.38.
But you can't call into sports radio, go on Twitter. I don't mean you. I'm talking to the general person.
$25 more than the Yankees. That's crazy.
You can't express your, I want Carlos Correa. Go sign Robbie Ray or Marcus Stroman.
Right.
Sign Contreras to an extension. Go bring Chris Bryant back for whatever millions he wants. Okay, the money's going to have to come from somewhere. If you don't like the product, don't go.
Yeah, I think after seeing the team win the World Series, continue to go to the playoffs, and just, you know, find a ceiling to their success, it's like, should I keep going? Should I keep paying to go if you're just going to be mediocre or above average?
Demand excellence and pay for it.
And meanwhile, on the South Side, affordable. Affordable. Family of four, we take care of you. We put the nachos in the little helmets. People like it. And we get fireworks and the lights going on and off. Oh, my God. It hurts the eyes. So at least you get that with the White Sox, right?
Danny.
Just for the record, boys, a few teams, three to be exact, did lower their prices after the 2020 season. Ben Simmons will not report to the opening of training camp next week, and he intends to never play another game for the 76ers, according to our guy Adrian Wojnarowski. Simmons hasn't spoken to the team since late August. When he said this to them, he told their officials he doesn't want to be there. Simmons has a four years and $147 million left on his max contract, which includes $33 million for this upcoming season. Shot or no shot, Ben Simmons is pulling an Aaron Rodgers, and he will indeed play another game for the franchise.
No, that's a no shot. The easiest thing you could do in life is just quit. And Ben Simmons is quitting on the Sixers. a guy that actually should stay there and say, you know what? Hey, coach, I got better. Hey, Embiid, I know you're disappointed to me because I didn't take big shots in the fourth quarter late. I was one of the guys that cost us to lose the series. I got better in the summer, so I'm coming back. And I'll try and see whether I can help. And if I can't, I'll ask for a trade at that point. But the point is that for him to say he's not coming back, that's just BS, man.
He's a quitter.
You don't shoot the basketball. You lay it up. You're afraid to get fouled because you don't want to go to the foul line. And look, he's a young player that's developing. He does everything right. He's a great defender, and he's great going to the basket cap. But you have to be a more all-around player. Today's NBA is not about the big man. It's about the versatile player. That's what the league is about today. And he's a versatile player, but he doesn't do the other fundamentals, like shooting the basketball.
How about if he would have gone on a radio show in Philly?
Yep.
WIP or whichever.
The Fanatic, yeah.
And said, hey, I just want to clear the air here. I let this city down. I let this team down. My performance was substandard. I am going to spend the offseason working to be better in every aspect of the game, and hopefully Joel and I and Matias and Doc River, all of us together can bring a championship to this great city. It will never, ever be because I didn't work hard enough. I'm a Sixer.
The pressure's off then.
People would have gone, okay, I'm with you, dude. Let's
go. That's right. That's right.
Instead of being a petulant child.
I would fine his ass every day for him not coming to camp.
And you know what?
I would fine him.
And trade him to Minnesota for D'Angelo Russell. And let him wake up in the Twin Cities, which is a great place. I lived there.
I understand, but his basketball is Siberia, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And enjoy being 22 and 60. Have fun.
I know there's a fallout to this, right? Danny, I know he's a Rich Paul guy. And if he's a Rich Paul guy, that means, oh, Philly didn't treat Ben Simmons right. Don't go to Philly. That's going to be the thing. I'm guaranteeing you that's what it's going to be. Don't go to Philly because they didn't treat Ben Simmons right. Didn't treat him right. He didn't try.
And they paid him a fortune. Yeah.
I'm disappointed in him in that he is not trying to let it work itself out with Embiid and good players around him. That's all I'm saying.
I heard Brian Windhorst on The Jump say that a lot of players, when they get Rich Paul as an agent, they're planning on doing one of these, hey, I don't want to be here anymore moves, which is interesting because Zach LaVine just signed with Rich Paul. Clutch Sports.
So a buddy of mine did some work in Zach's home. He's moving homes. He had a beautiful place on the north side. He's getting
What's the address?
It is two. No. He
careful
did
now.
Some work in the house. And said, Zach is the nicest dude in the world. He said, are you going to be a Bull? He said, dude, if they want me, I'm here for the rest of my career. I love it here. I'm building this. I want to be here. So if they want me, which all indications are they do, they'll use the bird rights next summer and sign him. He will get his big money. And hopefully this team's in the right direction.
But you heard Zed plant the seed there. There's a seed. He's a seed planter back here. You know that, right?
Listen, we all know that when people come and work on stuff in our house, we tell them all our deepest, darkest truths when they ask us.
This guy's done some stuff with Zach.
Okay.
He knows it.
Okay. I buy it.
All right.
Do we want one more, boys? Or
yes,
we're
sir. No, go ahead.
Go ahead, fast.
Gentlemen, Aaron Rodgers told Pat McAfee that he's grown his hair out for the past year for his Halloween costume. That's quite a commitment. I asked you guys, shot or no shot, you would ever commit that hard to a Halloween costume?
I would not. No shot.
I never liked Halloween. I was not a Halloween guy growing up. What?
It's unbelievable. The list grows by the day of what you're not. You're not a Halloween guy now.
I'm not.
Okay.
I never was.
Okay.
Wasn't big on the costume parties, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I would not commit that hard. But if I was going to do Halloween, I would go all in. Like a few years ago, Waddle had the Halloween party. I had a makeup artist come to the house, and my wife and I mean, it was like a major undertaking.
You had a makeup artist come to the house?
Yes.
Can Mindy do that for you?
She got made up, too. We went as Dracula and whatever she was. Elvira. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. How was a fun night, man.
How was it afterwards?
Throw those sheets out.
I understand that the Halloween is about blood and gore, you know, and it's just like the evil spirits. But my God,
right.
When you got to wash and throw the throw the sheets out. Wow.
Yep.
Hell of a night.
Yep.
My God. How about that, Danny?
There's nothing worse than coming home really, really drunk, covered in makeup on Halloween night and having to make that choice. Screw it. Just go to bed covered in makeup.
Or screw.
Or go wash yourself off.
All right.
My partner here needs a cold shower, so we'll take a break.
Tats for tacos. I said tats. T-A-T-S.
Ooh.
For tacos. Next.
Ta-ta.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Only one on the show that has tattoos. Get my next one next week. Excited.
Yeah, I'm not a tattoo guy.
What do you have, a long list of things you're not? Like, I'm just open-minded. I accept everything.
Hold on. You're open-minded?
Yes. The most open-minded guy you know.
That's not true at all.
What does that mean?
That's not true at all. You're not open-minded to everything.
I see everybody for the goodness in them. I'm accepting of all.
Okay. Then I want you to start watching Mad Men.
Never seen it.
You know who's in it?
John Hamm.
That's right. Take that. So you're open-minded. So I look forward to you breaking down Mad Men each week here on the program. Start from, and I don't know why you don't like it. It's kind of about our business. It's advertising, but it's still about entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I mean, especially in the 60s. The 60s. You could smoke in the offices. You had thin black ties, little hat. Oh, the great time. Hey, honey, come in here. That's my new girl, Friday. Look at that. I mean, back then, I mean, that's the way it was back then, right?
Right.
Okay, so this is right up your alley.
I'm just not a John Hamm guy.
Wait a minute. You're open-minded.
I'm willing to try.
See? That's what... I know that's the extreme. If I can get you to watch John Hamm shows, then that's the extreme.
Correct.
Open-minded, though.
He was just so rude to Richard Jewell.
All right. Would you just let it go? I'd love to get him on the show for him to answer. The Chris Black of actors.
That's John exactly Hamm. What he is.
He's Black. He's completely Black.
So, Neller found this story where this restaurant said, if you will get, Jeff, what is the name of the little logo? If you get this logo tattooed on your body, we'll give you free tacos for life.
So, the restaurant in San Francisco, this occurred back in 1998. The restaurant was called Casa Sanchez. It was a Mexican restaurant, nice. And they offered a promotion that if you were willing to go ahead and get the company's logo tattooed somewhere on your body, you were entitled to food for life. And so...
And what does that mean? Is it like you get tacos once a week for life? You can get tacos every day you want to eat them?
I don't know how stringent they were on the crackdown. My guess is usually when you hear things like that, like for life, it's usually once per week.
Yeah.
For, you know, the rest of your life.
Because my wife did a pizza deal where you got pizza for life, and it wasn't every day that you're eating pizza.
And so whether or not the logo is cool, I guess, is debatable, because Danny is completely anti this logo. It's called Jimmy the Corn Man.
And he, go ahead.
And so Jimmy the Corn Man, he's got a giant sombrero, and he's riding what looks to be like almost like a rocket ship, but the rocket ship is a big piece of like a corn on the cob.
Yes, with the husks on it.
Yes. So he is called Jimmy or Johnny the Corn Man. And if you were willing to get this tattooed on your body, you were entitled to tacos for life. Jimmy the Corn Man. I'm sorry, Jimmy the Corn Man.
Yep, I'm looking at little Jimmy riding through outer space.
So this was back in 98, mm-hmm. And what seemed like a good idea at the time, I guess 15 years later, maybe not as great an idea because the restaurant did eventually go out of business. However, kudos to the people who ran that business because in the lease for the next restaurant to take over, they made sure that anybody who had Jimmy the Corn Man tattooed on their body was entitled to a free meal per week. So the tattoo lives on. But the question we were, you know, batting around is what do you like so much that you would be willing to get a tattoo of that logo if you were entitled to that for life? Is there anything out there, whether it's a food, a fast food restaurant, or something else in your daily life that you enjoy so much that you would willingly get a tattoo on your body so that you can have it for the rest of your life for free?
Wow.
I've got mine. Do you have yours?
No. Every piece of art that's on my body, I have four right now, and I'm getting two more next week.
Sure.
Is something that has incredible deep meaning to me.
I understand what you mean. That's why I'm going with Harold's Chicken Shack. I'm going with the butcher going after the chicken. There he is right there. Could you imagine that? That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. That'd be a lot of work.
Oh, sure.
Like the Harold's Chicken Shack writing, they'll have that done in 20 minutes.
But what about the
little man chasing the chicken?
With a cleaver.
Yes, that would take you a lot of work.
It was so classic about the Harold's Chicken Shack logo is you can see the chicken sweating. Do you see the droplets of sweat?
Oh, I do. Like, oh, God.
Yeah, so he's running away. If no one's ever seen this before, if you never had Harold's, and of course, this is just funny to me. Just seeing this butcher in a robe, looking like Jerry the King Lawler, right? He's got a big crown on, he's got a robe, he's got a cleaver, and he's going after the chicken that's sweating. That would be an awesome tattoo.
Get it.
All right, so what about, no, I'm not doing that. What about you? Because I'm not a tattoo guy.
You've never had one. How do you know?
Just not a guy. The ink. Tattoo guy.
I will say, I think Cap's doing it right. He's on his way to making it actually pulling it off. You still got ways to go, I think, Cap. But I do think if you're committed to getting a tattoo, much better to get like the full arm sleeve where it actually kind of stands out. See, I think you could like hide like a Lou Malnati's logo right into your sleeve there.
Yes.
Nice piece. It's like a nice slice of pie there.
Well, let's just be clear. I do not want a sleeve. I don't want anything below the elbow.
So you're not going to make it look cool then.
Oh,
my upper arm will be
okay. That's almost a sleeve. Short sleeves. You're gonna have a short sleeve of tattoos on your arm.
Correct.
So you're on your way to making it look to pulling it off. I'll say that.
So should I have a little
almost
little deep dish in there or the Lou's script writing?
I think the script writing is just fine. I think
Lou's. Yeah, that works.
The script writing.
I mean, you've got Alan, so you might as well have Lou on the other arm, right?
Oh my god.
Yeah, just the script writing of Lou Malnati's.
So if Mark Malnati's listening, if I get the script writing of Lou Malnati's,
I'll get pizza for free.
You get pizza for life.
For life, yes. Me.
Yes. Hoodie.
Yes. Nothing says love to your wife than putting her company on your arm.
Correct.
I think she'd think that that's adorable. I mean, you bring her flowers all the time, but nothing says Lou Malnati's in your arm like love, right? To me.
Correct.
So, okay, so what other choice? Now, there's other things that you like out of town, right? So what is these New York things that you like? There's these restaurants or these desserts that you like from New York.
I like, there's Levain's chocolate chip cookies. Those are amazing.
I wonder, do they have a logo there? Maybe put a chocolate chip cookie on your arm.
Those are amazing. Uh-huh. Like, oh my goodness. You can now buy them in the frozen section. You put them in the oven and you heat them up. You bake them for a few minutes and they get just amazing. But there's nothing like buying them there.
Levain's.
Yeah. Levain's. Levain's chocolate chip cookies.
You know, spitballing here, I think ESPN 1000, we should consider a promotion where anybody who wants to get ESPN 1000, ESPN Chicago tattooed across their arm, they get free podcasts for life. What do you think, boys?
I think that's a great idea.
Just spitballing here. We're going to have to run it by Travis and Rachel in promotions, but just thinking.
What if, Miller, we throw in the app for free, too?
Oh,
wow, hold the on. App.
What if we also tell them they can watch on Twitch? They could see what they're listening
to.
Dude,
oh my God. I never thought of that.
How about this? If they're downtown, we can allow them to listen at 100.3 HD2 so they get crystal clear FM.
Now you've gone too far, Cap. Okay, you're just giving it away.
All right, it was fine, and then you do that. And okay, now you're just overcompensating. I don't know why you're doing that. I mean, now you're giving them HD2. I mean, come on now. Everyone's got that in their car. So we're told.
That's what we hear.
Hey!
Jesse Rogers from Detroit. Next.
Take that.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The White Sox are mired in what I would call shallow water difficulty. They're not totally healthy. No team is. But if Carlos Rodon can't pitch in the postseason, that's a problem. And if Dallas Keuchel can't pitch effectively, that's a problem.
Right.
Bullpen's a mess other than Liam Hendricks. That's a problem. So can they pull the nose up like they did in 2005 as they were nose-diving? Ozzy steadied the rudder, got us up, and there we go.
So you know what this means, Jesse? That means that everything has to go right if this team's going to be anything like 2005, because it was some of the best pitching that I think we've all ever seen in the postseason.
Yeah, and it has to start soon. Tony La Russa said something to me about 3 weeks ago before we kind of, you know, came up with this idea that they're in this mode of playing sort of average baseball, right? They were just not that long after the All-Star break, and they were okay. He told me you can get into a rut down the stretch and never get out of it. And I know that's what he's thinking about right now. And that was 3 weeks ago he told me that. And since then, they certainly have been in a rut. They're 8-10 in September. Cap, you mentioned 05. They were 17-12 in September in 05. It was August that was so bad, 12-16. So if you want to repeat 05, you better get going soon. Now, having said that, I know Tony does believe that getting healthy is more important than anything right now. And all you have to do is play a good series or two in the final week, and you'll start feeling better about yourself. So they may be in a rut now. That doesn't mean they will be in 10 days or in 2 weeks, but they do need to start playing better. I know they sort of took it easy in the first couple innings yesterday as the rain was coming down, and if they play today, they'll probably do the same thing. They're not going to go all out in some of these moments, but you do need to play better because you know what? You're the 3 seed right now in the worst division in baseball, right? The Blue Jays, the Rays, the Astros have this great these great records in tougher divisions. So in some ways, you should have a better record because of the division you're in. But right now, they're not just firing on all cylinders.
What is going on with the bullpen? The bullpen is a bigger concern for me because I feel like, at least in the first series, it's a three-game, best-of-five, win-three-game series. I believe in Dylan Cease. I love Lance Lynn. I love Lucas Giolito. I'm more concerned by Crochet, Bummer, Kopech, Kimbrel getting sorted out. Hendricks looks good to me.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I would just include the starters in that as well. Other than Lucas Giolito, basically every important pitcher on this team has a higher ERA in the second half than they did in the first half. Every important pitcher. Let's take Michael Kopech. He had like a 1.5 ERA in the first half. It's 6.66 or something like that.
Wow.
Now, ERA doesn't tell the complete story, but I think it gives you a good picture. Even the good starters, right? Lance Lynn's ERA is higher. Certainly, Rodon's is higher, mostly because of his issues, maybe. So I'm worried about both ends of it, Cap. Maybe it's the games jump. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, why the middle guys are having some problems. Hendricks' ERA is higher in the second half as well. The innings jump is the only answer I can give you. It's the only answer anyone can give you, I think, because these are pretty good arms, pretty proven arms that are having some issues. And look, those starting pitchers are 5-6 inning pitchers in the playoffs. The one sort of negative, you know, Lance Lynn gets a lot of foul balls. Cease gets a lot of strikeouts. Rodon gets a lot of strikeouts. That's good, but the pitch count goes up. These are 6-inning pitchers at most in the postseason, which means Michael Kopech is going to be one of the most important players on this team, along with Kimbrough and Hendricks, of course, who will come after him. So I think it's a legit concern when you think about the second half versus the first half. And the second half is more important because that's the most recent play as you head to the playoffs.
Jesse, Cap and I have been trying to figure out the starting rotation and just how the pitchers will fall in the postseason. Okay, so with Rodon, that's the wild card. So what's going on with Rodon makes it seem like that Keuchel may make the roster just as kind of a long man, not necessarily a starter, but a long man, right? Because in that first series, it would be Lynn, Giolito, Cease. And so what? So do you need three lefties in a bullpen scenario? Because you already have the other two with Bummer and Crochet.
I think Keuchel's going to make it either way, and I'll tell you why. If you have a short start, you're going to need one of him or Ronaldo Lopez to go, right? And if you go extra innings, you're going to need one of him or Ronaldo Lopez to go. Like, I think you're actually going to use two long men potentially, again, because of the situation with Rodon and the fact that your starters end up with high pitch counts on this team. I think he's going to make it either way. Now, the question is, could he start a game? If Rodon can't go, is Keuchel your number four? I don't think they're going to change Michael Kopech's role at this late stage. There's that chance that Rodon starts and pitches two, three innings like we saw the other night. Just, you know, use up every bullet you can, and you go to someone like Keuchel. There's all sorts of scenarios where you might need Dallas Keuchel. The one thing I don't think they'll do, or two things I don't think they'll do, is start Michael Kopech, or number two, go with three starters, because that means Lance Lynn pitches on short rest, and all of a sudden you're putting all this strain on your starting staff. I think there's a chance Keuchel could get a start if Rodon can't go, and also the chance that Keuchel could piggyback Rodon if it's a short start. So lots of possibilities there. The one thing I will say, and I mentioned this yesterday on the pregame show, I think if Rodon starts, it's got to be game four because, you know, you got to give him as much rest as you can and also pitch him before a day off if you have to unload your bullpen. I think the same thing in general about a guy like Cease with the high pitch count, but you're probably not going to do that. You're going to go Lynn and Giolito games one and two. Cease, who's much better at home in game three, and then whether it's Rodon, Keuchel, or someone else in game four, that's kind of how I'm mapping this out now considering Rodon's condition.
You know what, Cap? I think that Keuchel has made a decent case the last couple of starts, right? So 11 innings pitched, 17 hits surrendered, and surrendered four earned runs last couple of games. So even though he has not been perfect and not been great this year, the last couple of games, not so bad against Detroit and Los Angeles.
But do hits concern you, even though the run productivity for the other team is not there, do the number of hits, because when you get to the postseason and all of a sudden, whoa, look how many hits, traffic leads to trouble.
The answer to that is yes. Yeah. It does concern me. Yesterday, you know, maybe he pitched to the ballpark, because it's a big ballpark, but he was giving up some hard hit balls that were outs, let alone the hits. It absolutely concerns me. Now, having said that, he's got a little John Lester in him, you know, at the end with the Cubs, where there was tons of traffic, and a lot of times he would get out of it, right? But there were many times he would not. So it's a little bit of a roll of the dice. You have to rely on him being that crafty veteran to get out of the damage. Because I can't remember the last 1-2-3 inning the guy had. I really can't, even in his good starts. So it does concern me. Is the Detroit Tigers putting up a large hit total on him? What are the Astros going to do to him? So I'm still concerned with Dallas Keuchel. But again, you get that veteran out there, maybe he can navigate and you get five and, you know, two or three runs at most out of him. But it's not an ideal situation, Cap, because you want Rodon from the first half pitching the playoffs, not Keuchel from any point this season.
Grade the job Tony has done this season. He's had to deal with just a myriad of injuries. They're going to clinch, whether it's today, tomorrow, Friday, this week. They're going to have champagne in their clubhouse, and they're going to be a division champion for the first time since, what, 2008?
Mm-hmm.
So grade the job Tony's done.
Yeah, I'm not sure he could do much better considering the injuries. I mean, if they had a full squad, they're probably five games better than they are now and neck and neck with the Houston Astros. So if you want to take points off for the early hiccups, it's a B+. If you don't care about that because the record is the record and the 10-game lead, then it's an A-. I think it's somewhere in there. And it's not just what he's done. It's how he's delegated to his coaching staff. You know, I am writing about Tony as soon as they clinch, and I talked to him and many other people, and he's not letting up on any detail. Even though it looks wonky right now, I think he's allowing things to sort of play out to get healthy. I asked him, did you let this thing just kind of roll once they got going in May? He's like, no, the exact opposite. We coach, this is the line he gave me, we coach our ass off on the first day and the last day, because the moment you let up is the moment you get in that rut you can't get out of. So I hope he's doing some coaching right now, because we know they're in that rut. If this was a week from now, 10 days from now, and they're playing the same, I'd start to get concerned. You can turn it on in October. You can. It's just not the formula, right? It just isn't. You just you already have 4 days between the end of the season and the regular season. I mean, if you haven't played good baseball in weeks, you're going to start doubting yourself a little bit. So let's see how things go as they clinch this thing. And that's the other thing. As you get closer to clinching, sometimes you play a little tight. Tony dismissed that yesterday. Let's see how things go after they clinch as they head into the final week. But I'd say B plus, A minus is probably right on the money. What do you guys think?
We're right there with you, Jesse.
Absolutely.
We've got to roll. Have a great rest of your day. Travel safely, okay?
Yep, be in Cleveland tomorrow, probably for the clincher. Take care, guys.
Boy, Detroit to Cleveland. Who'd you get angry?
Have a great day.
I've seen one clincher there.
Yeah, I was there for that one. It was an awesome night.
All right, pretty we'll fun. See you.
See ya.
That's Jesse Rogers. Andy Dalton, the cheerleader, next.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Go Beacons.
That's correct.
What's that?
That is their new name.
The Beacons.
The Valparaiso Beacons.
House of Horrors. If you're on the wrong end of the basketball.
Yes.
House of Horrors.
I'm a fan of their coach, too, Matt Loddick. Former star at New Trier and at Stanford.
I roll in there as a broadcaster for the UIC Flames, and we're just getting drummed by like 25. And like every local's in there, and it's sold out, and the fans are pointing at our bench. Down in flames, down in flames, down in flames. And I'll do it here from Valparaiso. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, the Arc. Isn't that what they call
it? Oh, God.
The Athletics and Recreation Center.
When they're good and that place is rocking, it's a hard place to play.
I was there when they beat Butler.
Oh, man.
And it was, they were hanging from the rafters.
Oh, that's a hard place to play. That old barn. Let me tell you something, Cap. You don't want to be on the wrong end.
You
that
do
place.
Not. We've done those games, you and I.
Oh, jeez. So
anyway, Andy Dalton gets injured on Sunday. He comes out of the game. He's standing on the sidelines. Bears are struggling late. Justin Fields flushed from the pocket. Rolling, looking, takes off. On 3rd and 9, he picks up 10. Ball game over. Victory formation.
Yes.
Andy Dalton loved it.
Yeah! I see you, Justin! Huge play. God, that was a big play. Huge play.
Way to go, man.
Awesome.
That's cool.
Of course.
That is cool.
Andy's been that way from day one as soon as Justin got here. He knows what's going on.
Yes.
He understands.
Hey, man, I'm a placeholder. I get it.
Yeah. I'm a veteran quarterback. If I do well or if I'm a good citizen, I'll go to another ball club, because you know what the scouting report on me will be? Andy Dalton, knowing that Justin Fields was going to be his heir apparent, was completely supportive in the meetings and on the sideline. He had great bedside manner when it comes to Justin Fields.
Right.
Perfect.
He's a guy you want in your room. And I kept hearing that in the offseason after the draft, Andy immediately reached out to him, and they became very, very tight, go to dinner, hang out together. And he tried to teach him everything he'd learned in an 11-year career.
Yeah.
And it's not always like that. Favre was not that way to Rodgers.
He was not.
And it doesn't seem like Aaron's that way to Jordan Love.
Yeah, he learned from the best, didn't he?
Correct.
He learned from Favre.
But listen to that raw emotion where he's truly happy for the kid.
Yeah! I see you, Justin! Huge play. God, that was a big play. Huge play.
Way to go, man.
Way to go, awesome. Man. Awesome.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not one of these things where, oh, Andy's being disingenuous because he knows the mic's on. He doesn't know.
Correct.
It's NFL Films, right?
Yeah, that's picked up by what's called a parabolic mic. You see that dude or that woman that's standing there with that big clear like satellite dish?
Yes.
That's a parabolic mic.
Made by one of the Zarangs, by the way. They made that parabolic mic. Yes, it was a Zarang that made it, believe me.
Probably right.
But I just think that's cool because it's not one of these things where I'm just going to do this just because that's my job. No, he's a Bear. He's on the team. That's how a teammate is supposed to act. Some of our listeners here are just completely just Justin Fields people and not an Andy Dalton fan just because you like Justin more. They're all part of the same team.
Correct. It's a unit.
You don't just separate Justin Fields from the teams like, Justin's a guy and Andy Dalton sucks. Well, actually, if you take a look at it, Andy Dalton doesn't suck. It's just that if you're a head coach organization, you have to determine whether or not you're trying to accelerate the kid first, quicker.
Waddle and Sylvie were talking yesterday.
In the IDOT bullpen.
In the IDOT bullpen and on the air here in the State Street, First Midwest Bank State Street studio, about the Tressman years. We can get frustrated with Matt. Tressman was a train wreck. Train wreck. I've told the story where we had Tim Brown on the day he got hired, and Tim Brown went, "You hired who?" No chance that's going to work. That dude can't address a group of 53 men. Never going to work.
Nothing like coaching from the back of the room.
Right. And then the culture was awful, and Lance Briggs not getting along with Brandon Marshall and Jay with this, and it was just a train wreck in that locker room. And John Fox deserves a lot of credit for fixing the locker room and making it a professional place.
Now, that's a positive for the Bears, right, as far as culture. Imagine if you had an offensive scheme.
Right.
Here's the positives, right? Everyone gets along as far as we know, right? And it's harmonious in there. Strong defense and get to the quarterback.
They actually like playing for the dude.
Yeah. But imagine the only missing ingredient, the offense. Imagine if you had an offensive identity along with all of that. Now you're a better ball club than just 8 or 9 wins.
Should Matt Nagy have done more to prepare the team for Justin Fields? We'll dissect that in 2 minutes. 58, I want to tell you right now. 2 minutes from now, we're going to be on the Matt Nagy discussion, and you'll hear from Matt. And follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. Brought to you by Hoodie's great sponsor, Pinehurst Resorts. Be right back.
58.